friends. Welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Sean, your host. The website is www.scriptureandprophecy.com, and that's where you go to find the archives, that's where you go to find the devotionals, and that's where you go to support this podcast, which is 100% listener-supported, and I thank all of you for your recent support far more than I deserve, and so thank you so much. Thank you for your prayers that are much coveted and much needed. Today, we are going to resume our study in the Dead Sea Scroll book, the Ancient Book of Jubilees, which is kind of like a resource that kind of helps fill in some gaps where the Book of Genesis is concerned. It doesn't replace the Book of Genesis. We don't treat it in the same way that we treat the Book of Genesis, but it just kind of gives us more information, I guess, that we can ponder on and think about. And really, in a lot of ways, it's very close to that book. If you were tuning in for the first time, you definitely want to go back and listen to the first episode where I kind of describe the Book of Jubilees, where it comes from, and why we even bother looking at it. So today we're going to be reading chapter 28 and 29, which deals with Jacob getting married to both Leah and Rachel, Raquel. He's kind of tricked into the double marriage, and he has some other troubles that he runs into from his uncle Laban. We're going to be reading about that. There is a brief moment where it does talk about the giants that are in the land. For maybe two or three verses, so we'll talk about that for a minute. And yeah, that's what we'll be getting into today. So without further delay, let's dig right in. Verse 1, chapter 28, the Ancient Book of Jubilees. And he went on his journey, and he came to the land of the east, to Laban, the brother of Rebekah. And he was with him and served him for Raquel, Rachel, his daughter, 1 week. And in the first year, the third week, he said unto him, Give me my wife, for whom I have served thee 7 years. And Laban said unto Jacob, I will give thee thy wife. And Laban made a feast and took Leah, his elder daughter, and gave her to Jacob as a wife, and gave her Zilpha, his handmaid, for a handmaid, and Jacob did not know, for he thought that she was Rachel. And he went in unto her, and behold, she was Leah. And Jacob was angry with Laban, and said unto him, Why hast thou dealt thus with me? Did I not serve thee for Rachel, and not for Leah? Why hast thou wronged me? Take thy daughter, and I will go, for thou hast done evil to me. Alright, so Jacob, he goes to his, if you remember, Isaac and Rebekah sent him away. Esau at this point wants to kill him because he took his blessing, tricked him out of his blessing. And so he goes to his uncle Laban, and Laban's got two daughters, Leah and Raquel, Rachel. And Jacob is madly in love with Rachel, as we read in the Book of Genesis. And he works 7 years for her. 7 years of labor to have Rachel. And then after the 7 years is up, he says to his uncle, okay, give me my wife. And Laban says, okay, no problem. So after the celebration and all that, I mean, you can use your imagination. It's dark. He goes into his tent. Laban sends in his daughter, but he sends in Leah. And when Jacob realizes that, and this is what he's freaking out about. Verse 5, For Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah, for Leah's eyes were weak, but her form was very handsome. That's kind of a polite way of saying she had a really nice build, but wasn't so pretty. But Rachel had beautiful eyes, and beautiful and very handsome in form. So Rachel, you know, was built nice and was very beautiful. is the point that it's making here. Verse 6, and Laban said to Jacob, it is not so done in our country to give the younger before the elder. And it is not right to do this, for thus is ordained and written in the heavenly tables that no one should give his younger daughter before the elder, but the elder one give first, and after her the younger. And a man who doeth so, they set down guilt against him in heaven, and none is righteous that doeth this thing, for this deed is evil before the Lord. And command thou the children of Israel that they do not this thing. Let them neither take nor give the younger before they have given the elder, for it is very wicked. And Laban said to Jacob, let the 7 days of the feast of this one pass by, and I shall give thee Rachel, and thou mayest serve me another 7 years, that thou mayest pasture my sheep as thou didst in the former week. And on the day when the 7 days of the feast of Leah had passed, Laban gave Rachel to Jacob, that he might serve him another 7 years. And he gave to Rachel Bilhah, the sister of Zilpah, as a handmaid. And he served yet another 7 years for Rachel, for Leah had been given to him for nothing. And the Lord opened the womb of Leah, and she conceived and bare Jacob a son, and he called his name Reuben. And on the 14th day of the 9th month, in the 1st year of the 3rd week, but the womb of Rachel was closed, for the Lord saw that Leah was hated, and Rachel loved. And again Jacob went into Leah, and she conceived, and she bare Jacob a son, and he called his name Simeon. And on the 21st of the 10th month, and in the 3rd year of this week. And again Jacob went into Leah, and she conceived, and bare him a 3rd son, and he called his name Levi. And in the new moon of the 1st month, in the 6th year of the week. And again Jacob went into her, and she conceived, and bare him a 4th son, and he called his name Judah. And on the 15th of the 3rd month, in the 1st year of the 4th week. And on account of all this, Rachel envied Leah, for she did not bear, and she said to Jacob, give me children. And Jacob said, haven't I withheld from thee the fruits of thy womb? Have I forsaken thee? And when Rachel saw that Leah had borne 4 sons to Jacob, Reuben, and Simeon, and Levi, and Judah, she said unto him, go into Bilhah, my handmaid, and she will conceive and bear a son unto me. And she gave him Bilhah, her handmaid, to wife. And he went unto her, and she conceived, and bare him a son, and called his name Dan. And on the 9th of the 6th month, in the 6th year of the 3rd week. And Jacob went again unto Bilhah a 2nd time, and she conceived, and bare Jacob another son, and Rachel called his name Naphtali. And on the 5th of the 7th month, in the 2nd year of the 4th week. And when Leah saw that she had become sterile, she did not bear, she envied Rachel, and she also gave her handmaid Zilpah to Jacob to wife. And she conceived and bare a son, and Leah called his name Gad. On the 12th of the 8th month, in the 3rd year of the 4th week. And he went again unto her, and she conceived and bare him a son, and Leah called his name Asher. On the 2nd of the 11th month, in the 5th year of the 4th week. And Jacob went into Leah, and she conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Issachar. On the 4th of the 5th month, in the 4th year of the 4th week. And she gave him to nurse. And Jacob went again unto her, and she conceived and bare 2 children, a son and a daughter. And she called the name of the son Zebulun, and the name of the daughter Dinah. In the 7th of the 7th month, in the 6th year of the 4th week. And the Lord was gracious to Rachel, and opened her womb, and she conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Joseph. On the new moon of the 4th month, in the 6th year, in the 4th week. And in the day when Joseph was born, Jacob said to Laban, give me my wives and sons, and let me go to my father Isaac, and let me make me a house, for I have completed the years in which I have served thee for thy 2 daughters, and I will go into the house of my father. And Laban said to Jacob, tarry with me for thy wages, and pasture my flock for me again, and take thy wages. And they agreed with one another that he should give him as his wages those of lambs and kids which were born black and spotted and white. These were to be his wages. And all the sheep brought forth spotted and speckled and black, various marked. And they brought forth again lambs like themselves, and all that were spotted were Jacob's, and those which were not were Laban's. And Jacob's possessions multiplied exceedingly. And he possessed oxen and sheep and asses and camels and men servants and maid servants and Laban and his sons envied Jacob, and Laban took back his sheep from him, and he observed him with evil intent. Okay, so what we have going on here in chapter 28, Jacob ends up with both Rachel and Leah, as we discussed and read. Not only that, he ends up with the two handmaidens as wives, too. So he ends up with four wives, bearing him, I think we counted 11 children. I think all the children were accounted for here except for Benjamin. So Jacob, obviously a busy man, to say the least. But then he wants to go back home. He's got his wives. He's got his children. He wants to go back home. Laban says, no, stay here with me, and I will pay you your wages to continue to herd my sheep. And your wages will be the flocks that have these spots and speckles and things like that. And so Jacob agrees, sure. Well, what ends up happening is most of the livestock being born had the spots and stuff. You know, Jacob was being blessed by God, and so he was multiplying big time. And so he's becoming very, very wealthy, and he was starting to accumulate lots of different livestock, as it describes, sheep. Let's see, oxen, sheep, asses, camels, men servants, and maid servants. And so now Laban and his sons are starting to envy Jacob because Jacob just continues to multiply. And it says that Laban started to observe him with evil intent. All right, so let's go on to chapter 29, verse 1. And it came to pass, when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Laban went to shear his sheep, for they were distant from him 3 days' journey. And Jacob saw that Laban was going to shear his sheep, and Jacob called Leah and Rachel, and spake kindly unto them, that they should come with him to the land of Canaan. For he told them how he had seen everything in a dream, even all that he had spoken unto him, that he should return to his father's house. And they said, to every place whither thou goest, we will go with thee. And Jacob blessed the God of Isaac his father, and the God of Abraham his father's father. And he arose, and he mounted his wives and his children, and took all his possessions, and crossed the river, and came to the land of Gilead. And Jacob hid his intention from Laban, and told him not. And in the seventh year of the fourth week, Jacob turned his face toward Gilead in the first month, on the 21st thereof. And Laban pursued after him, and overtook Jacob in the mountain of Gilead in the third month of the 13th thereof. And the Lord did not suffer him to injure Jacob, for he appeared to him in a dream by night. And Laban spake to Jacob. And on the 15th of those days Jacob made a feast for Laban, and for all who came with him. And Jacob sware to Laban that day, and Laban also to Jacob, that neither should cross the mountains of Gilead to the other with evil purpose. And he made there a heap for witness. Therefore the name of the place is called the Heap of Witness, after this heap. But before they used to call the land of Gilead in the land, before they used to call the land of Gilead the land of the Rephaim. For it was the land of the Rephaim. The Rephaim were born there, giants, whose height was 10, 9, 8, down to 7 cubits. And their habitation was from the land of the children of Ammon to Mount Hermon, and the seats of their kingdom were Carnium, and Ashtaroth, and Edrei, and Misur, and Beon. And the Lord destroyed them because of the evil of their deeds, for they were very malignant. And the Amorites dwelt in their stead, wicked and sinful. And there is no people today which hath wrought to the full of all their sins, and they have no longer the length of life on earth. And Jacob sent away Laban, and departed into Mesopotamia, and the land of the east, and Jacob returned to the land of Gilead. All right, real quick, so we have the mention of the giants living in this area. So let's go back to that. So Gilead, it says, but before they used to call the land of Gilead the land of the Rephaim. For it was the land of the Rephaim, and the Rephaim were born there, giants whose height was 10, 9, 8, down to 7 cubits. Now, according to a quick Google search, a cubit is about 1.5 feet. So, you can imagine, so how tall some of these were. Because it says 10, 9, even 8.5 cubits long. And, sorry, I lost my place here. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, giants whose height was 10, 9, 8 down to 7 cubits. So, in other words, you know, the tallest one being about 15 foot tall. So, some of the giants were upwards of 15 foot. So, pretty big. And their habitation was from the land of the children of Ammon to Mount Hermon to the seats of their kingdom, where Carnium and Ashtaroth and Edrei and Mishur and Beon. And the Lord destroyed them because of their evil deeds. Now, you know, something that I hear a lot, people who want to deny God's existence or decide that God is evil, they will always refer back to in Genesis when God commits this evil genocide against these tribes and has Israel wipe out all these tribes. What the people don't realize, because it's lost history, and even Christians don't know this, because pastors don't know this, even though it's all over the Bible. I'm just going to say this. There is absolutely no excuse not to know about the giants. It is, the Bible is riddled with the information. Just tons of it. Endless amounts of information about the giants. I mean, you've got Goliath as one of the most famous stories, and people can't make the connection. It talks about Goliath and his brothers and how they had six fingers and six toes. It talks about, I mean, you go to Samuel and Chronicles, and it talks about these beings. Genesis chapter 6 talks about how they got here. The Israelites were afraid to go into the land. Why? Because there was giants there that made them look like grasshoppers. They were so big. I mean, it's just real. There's absolutely just no excuse. But what Christians and just secular people, what most people don't realize is that God wasn't committing genocide on human beings. He was having them wipe out these giant tribes, and that's what was taking place. The Raphaim, as an example, is mentioned. I'm just doing a quick search here in Esor. It found six matches, and that's assuming that it's all the same spelling, dealing with the valley of the Rephaim. So you've got a couple mentions of it in 2 Samuel. You've got a couple mentions of it in 1 Chronicles. You've got Isaiah mentioning the Valley of the Rephaim. My whole point is that the giants and that whole thing is so critical to our understanding of our past. I'm reading a book right now called Giants, Fallen Angels, and the Return of the Nephilim. And most of it is a refresher for me because I've studied the giants in great detail and the Book of Enoch and all that stuff. That's why there's so much of this on my YouTube channel. And there's going to be even more because it's a huge topic that I focus on. I used to have a little section on the website, scriptureandprophecy.com, on the right-hand side, in the sidebar that used to say books I'm reading. And I'm going to put that back up, and I'll put this book up there so you guys can find it in case you're interested. The reason why I focus so much on it is because I believe in the last days there'll be a return of the Nephilim. Now, that doesn't mean that they'll be 15 foot tall. It just means they'll be non-human humanoids. You know, the giants were not human, they were humanoid. They were Nephilim, meaning they were hybrids, genetically modified hybrids. And we are seeing that already. There's already genetically modified babies being born now. Not to mention the genetically modified food and all that stuff. We talk about this stuff all the time. That's causing human beings to be genetically modified. I've shared with you guys in the past that I believe the mark of the beast will not just be a chip, but it'll be a DNA change. Which is why those who receive the mark of the beast cannot be redeemed, according to the Book of Revelation. So anyway, I just had to do that short little rant about the giants. Most of you listening, you know this information. You've heard me talk about it endless amounts of times. And we'll be talking about it more because it's developing. And that's why I focus so much time on it and the ancient history, is because of the fact that Jesus said it'll be like the times of Noah. And I believe that's a loaded statement. And we're seeing it. we're seeing it develop before our very eyes. So that book, by the way, is really good. I'm about 25% of the way through it. There is lots of things I didn't know. He really covers the giant structures that are all over the planet with great detail. So I highly recommend it. I'll put a link, like I said, on the website as soon as I have time, probably later on this afternoon. All right, just a handful more of verses. Let's finish chapter 29 in the book of Jubilees, starting with verse 13. And he passed over the Jabbok in the ninth month, on the 11th thereof. And on that day Esau his brother came to him, and he was reconciled to him and departed from him into the land of Seir, but Jacob dwelt in tents. By the way, the book of Genesis actually provides a lot more information about this interaction with Jacob and Esau, because Jacob's pretty terrified that he's about Esau coming, because if you remember, Esau wanted to kill him. I have a whole series on both the book of Genesis and the book of Exodus on the channel, in the archives. You can go listen to that at any time. Verse 14. And in the first year of the fifth week in this Jubilee, he crossed the Jordan and dwelt beyond the Jordan, and he pastured his sheep from the Sea of the Heap unto Bethshan and unto Dothan and unto the forest of Akaribim. And he sent his father Isaac all his substance, clothing and food and meat and drink and milk and butter and cheese and some dates of the valley. And to his mother Rebekah also four times a year, between the times of the months, between plowing and reaping, and between autumn and the rain season, and between winter and spring, and to the tower of Abraham. For Isaac had returned from the well of the oath and gone up to the tower of his father Abraham, and dwelt there apart from his son Esau. For in the days when Jacob went to Mesopotamia, Esau took to himself a wife, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael. And he gathered together all the flocks of his father and his wives, and he went up and dwelt on Mount Seir, and left Isaac his father at the well of the oath alone. And Isaac went up from the well of the oath and dwelt in the tower of Abraham his father on the mountains of Hebron. And thither Jacob sent all that he did send to his father and his mother from time to time, all they needed, and they blessed Jacob with all their heart and with all their soul. And that is chapter 28 and 29 in the ancient book of Jubilees found with the Dead Sea Scrolls. And I pray in the powerful name of Jesus that you were blessed by that reading this morning. I believe next week we get into the crazy story, the Jubilees account of when Dana is, you'll remember from the book of Genesis, where Dana is believed ravaged by some it says Shechemites is the title there, and then the brothers take revenge. So that'll be on the table for next week when we get into our study next week. Alright, thank you so much for your prayers. Again, thank you for supporting the podcast, 100% listener supported. Please be praying for me and my family and for the podcast, and I appreciate that so much. You guys bless me far beyond what I deserve for the privilege, and it really is a privilege to do this work. Peace and grace be with all of you, and until next time, God bless.